Mazzara and Parra project to Amiwara. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay Bib scare ya. Machado or Bono or Nolan Garantano.
We'll teach you how to win Rondo. Start, sit, and drop, and all you need to know. Alazric Porcello. Now let's get on with the show.
Oh, it's good to be back. What's up, everybody? This is Fantasy Baseball Today on Monday, July 11th, All-Star Break Week, but we're still going to have content for you, hopefully every day. I am Adam Azer with Heath Cummings and Scott White.
I'm going Adam.
I'm going to have
such an overachiever, Adam.
Yeah, I'm going to have to convince people to podcast every day. yeah, what's wrong with that? We do it every year. We always podcast every day during the All-Star Break.
I don't think that's true.
It is true.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Al and I were in Cincinnati at the All-Star game last year, so I know we weren't. I don't know if you were meeting up with Chris and Heath.
Well, I was gone for at least 2 days during the All-Star break last year.
Okay.
So, maybe Chris and Adam just did four straight podcasts of just Chris
and Adam. Maybe they did. You know what? You know what? I got to tell you, I mean, I do feel like the podcasts where there are not games going on and a lot of things that we have to do are more fun.
Oh, yeah, they're great. You know what we're going to do? We're going to draft the first two rounds. We're going to redraft halfway through the season, first two rounds. Who would you take 1 through 24? We're going to do that one of these days this week.
One of these days.
Yeah, hopefully Wednesday.
Are you off Wednesday, Heath?
I haven't fully decided when I'm going to be off.
Okay.
I may just take a couple of half days.
Oh, a couple of half days.
Be here in the mornings.
Wow.
That would be
great.
Just for the podcast.
Because Adam is the taskmaster.
Right. I mean, every other portion of my job, I get a bit of a break over the All-Star break, but the podcast must go on.
Look, if you guys don't want to do it, that is fine. We will get around that. I understand that it is time to recharge the batteries a little bit. Baseball is certainly a grind. So we'll see what we have for you this week. No promises, but they're going to be more than one show. That's for sure.
Are we having a production meeting?
No.
Or I guess not
we're moving on.
A budget meeting, maybe.
Okay.
All right.
We're moving on. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Today is your standard Monday show. We'll go over what we saw over the weekend, tell you who to add and drop prospects. A lot changing in bullpens around baseball with the Red Sox making a trade and a bunch of relievers pitching like garbage. And, you know, it's just there's a lot to cover here. Home run derby talk for a little bit, most added list, you know the drill. And again, the email address is fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. I do want to remind everybody, I recommend it. You don't have to do it, but I recommend changing a 3-day week into a 10-day week, beginning on Friday and extending into next week. You can do that on cbsports.com in your commissioner tools. What is it called? I think it is advanced schedule editor or something like that.
I mean, it doesn't really matter for roto leagues.
Correct.
It's just for points leagues and categories leagues. I'm going to be changing the For the People podcast league. I haven't told anybody yet, but I'm going to be taking that suggestion as well.
Wow.
What? Wow. What's so what?
Well, I hasn't told anybody yet.
I've already made
my pickups for the week.
No, you didn't.
I did. Well, I can always check again, but I haven't always liked this idea, Adam, of combining the 2 weeks. I mean, you lose a week that would otherwise count as, you know, an extra opportunity for you to make up ground in the standings or whatever. And
you're not making up ground in the standings in that league.
Well,
it's over.
No, he just kicked my butt.
I had a big week, 8-1-1, and I made a big trade.
I can't believe that trade.
Not to get sidetracked. We can talk about that in a second if you want to, but, I found a nice compromise in my dynasty league. Instead of taking it from a 3-day week and a 7-day week to a 10-day week, make it to 5-day weeks.
You could do that.
Start the second one on Wednesday. So, I mean, there's an oddity there that everyone will have to set their lineups on a day they're not used to setting them, but, you don't lose that extra week and you don't feel like, you're getting shortchanged.
Well,
so much.
That's fine if that's the way you prefer. I'm vehemently opposed to a 3-day week. And we'll leave it at that. All right. Going through some important stuff here. I actually have an email from Matt that kind of covers some of the bases that we need to cover here. Matt in New Jersey has our email of the day. And first he says, who is your pick to win the home run derby tonight?
This is a very important question and one that I've done a lot of research on. I think my initial thought was they're not going to throw breaking balls, so it has to be Stanton.
Oh God! Will you stop hating on Giancarlo Stanton?
I mean, if it's just a steady diet of fastballs, no one has the power that Giancarlo Stanton has. I would expect him to win. Mm-hmm. The only issue I have with that is Petco Park is such a better home run park for left-handed hitters than it is for right-handed hitters. The park factor in 2015,
gosh,
Petco Park rated as a 103 for home runs for lefties, which is above average and like the 10th best. It rated as a 94 for right-handed hitters, which is like the sixth worst.
Are you really putting this much thought into your home run derby pick? Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. But I'm going to go with Giancarlo.
Okay. I am going to go
Don't pick another right-handed hitter, Scott. They don't have a chance.
Well, I was actually thinking about Corey Seager because I know he's in it. I'm trying to look up the participants.
Let me read them. I'll read them to you.
So and you also have to take into account who they're facing in the first round. It's much more difficult for some people to get out of the first round than it is others.
Yes. All right. So here's how it works. Mark Trumbo is facing Corey Seager. Todd Frazier is facing Carlos Gonzalez.
Cargo.
Adam Duvall is facing Will Myers. And Robinson Cano is facing Giancarlo Stanton, which just sucks because Cano is my pick.
I remember watching him in past home run derbies, and he's had some spectacular performances.
You know, I was there in Cincinnati last year when Todd Frazier just electrified the home crowd with the stirring comeback, actually a couple of them. And so the kind of power Will Myers has shown this year, I kind of like him at Petco. By the way, I mean, since it was the first home run derby I attended, and the first with these new rules where it's a timed thing instead of just a batter can take a bunch of pitches. And there were a couple buzzer beater home runs, and it was really exciting. What did it translate that way on TV? Did the home run derby go from being a snooze to the coolest part of the All-Star game? Because the in-person experience, that's what it was like.
I don't remember, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know. I think what's a more fun game than picking the winner is picking who's the most likely to Robinson Cano.
What does that mean?
0-10.
Oh, did he go 0-10?
Well, that's not going to happen. They're going to get a lot more than 10. They're going to get a lot more than 10 hacks, so.
Look.
So nobody can go 0 for now?
Can we just pick a winner for God's sake so we can talk about fantasy baseball? I'm talking to Scott.
I already did. I said Will Myers.
That's who you're going with, Will Myers?
Why don't you pick a winner?
I picked Cano.
Is there something wrong with
Will Myers? Yeah, Will Myers is a bad pick, but I picked Cano. All right. Next part of the email. It seems like a bunch of intriguing waiver wire pickups presented themselves over the weekend. I'm guessing he means the futures game. What are your thoughts on Andrew Benintendi, the Red Sox outfielder, Alex Bregman, and Kenny Vargas, who is up with the Twins? And I noticed Scott is picking up Andrew Benintendi and Hunter Renfro, outfielder for the Padres, in the Padres organization anyway, in every single league. So, what do you guys think here?
Not every single league. I picked them up in both of our roto leagues, our five outfielder leagues, because outfield is such a hard position to fill, and I've been struggling to fill that fifth outfielder spot in both of those leagues all year. And I do think Hunter Renfro, who is a big-time power hitter, having an awesome season at AAA. I do think he's going to be up in the second half and may give the Padres another version of Will Myers. Benintendi was kind of a surprise, just drafted last year, but Dave Dombrowski said over the weekend that he hinted that he may be close and that he may get the promotion straight from AA. Red Sox have had a hard time filling the left field spot. I'm a huge prospect, but just surprising that he would come up this early.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. I mean, a guy that started at high A this year, it's pretty rare that somebody starts at high A, plays 50 games in double A, and then comes up and is good in the majors.
It happens sometimes.
Yes.
And I mean, if the guy who calls that shot is hinting at it, I would tend to trust that. But if I was picking between the two, I would take Renfro just because I don't see how the Padres keep him down given his age and the kind of production he's putting up.
Okay. And, you know, maybe the best way to phrase it is don't drop anybody that's contributing right now for you, for these guys. It's got to be the last person on your roster or something like that if you're stashing one of these prospects, right?
Yeah, I think I was dropping like Gio Gonzalez,
right?
Jaime Garcia, like pitchers I was looking for an excuse to drop anyway.
Okay, cool. Now, what do you think of some of the temporary closers? See, isn't this a good email from Matt? What do you think of some of these temporary closers like Ryan Dahl, Nate Jones, Koji Uehara? All of them pitching in different circumstances here, but definitely this was a weekend to add closers. I added Tyler Clippard in one league. I tried to get him in a second and got outbid for Tyler Clippard. I did not go for Uehara, but look, Kimbrel's out 3 to 6 weeks, and Uehara, I guess, is going to be, I don't know, I feel like it's going to be Ziegler at some point. I was hesitant to buy in to Uehara. He hasn't been that good.
Well, has Ziegler?
Yeah, he's been much better.
High whip. I know.
Guess, but he never blows a save. Didn't he set a record? Or come close to it?
I think you said you added Clippard in a league or two, and I think that's the guy out of all of these that I'd be much more interested in.
Right.
But if I had to choose between Uehara and Ziegler, it'd be Uehara for sure.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. That John Farrell did say that Uehara is going to be the primary closer, right?
And, you know, strikeouts.
Yeah. Well, just from the, like, if we were throwing the first 3 months out the window, the season's starting today, the first 3 months were the last 3 months of last season, I would think Uehara is going to have a better season. So, yeah.
Yeah. Now that is temporary because when Kimbrel's healthy, he'll be back. Now there are other bullpen situations. He'll be back in the closer's role is obviously what I meant to say. There are other bullpen situations that are worth looking at here. Ryan Dahl was mentioned and he got a save on Sunday and he got a save on Saturday. Madsen was unavailable on Saturday, but then Madsen was bad again on Sunday. He blew his fifth save. He's been really bad lately. Will Harris has been struggling. Steve Cishek has been struggling. Arodis Vizcaino has been struggling, and he was unavailable on Sunday due to skin irritation on his elbow. He's expected to be fine and ready on Friday, but Jim Johnson, since coming off the DL, has given up 2 earned runs in 17 and a third. Houston Street's been terrible. I wouldn't worry about the Nate Robertson thing because it doesn't look like it's a serious thing, but he does have a strained left leg, so Jones would close if Robertson's out for an extended period. I mentioned a lot of names there. Are there any situations that you guys have been looking at to pick up somebody now that's not closing that you think could be soon?
Ryan Dahl was the one I picked up. I picked him up actually in the podcast categories league after making that trade where I basically punted on saves, traded both my closers away, and then picked up Ryan Dahl, hoping that maybe he could become that. And as bad as Madsen's been recently, Dahl's been good. His whip is like 0.7 and low ERA. And with Sean Doolittle out of the picture, I can't imagine he wouldn't be next in line.
Now, did you see that he finally had his streak of inherited runners left stranded ended?
Right.
Yeah, so he set the record.
It was a major league all-time record. Was that? Okay.
I wasn't sure
what the record was, but I knew there was something like that going on.
Right. Inherited runners that he stranded finally one scored over the weekend, but Dahl is having a really, really good season for the A's. And yeah, Doolittle's on the DL with a shoulder thing, right? Elbow, shoulder, knees and toes, somewhere in the arm.
Yeah. something that I don't expect him to return soon from.
Heath, any take on this? Any other closer situation you'd be looking at?
Not really. I mean, Kelvin Herrera got his first save over the weekend. It was his first save since like 2013. But all the indications the Royals have given is that Wade Davis is going to be back really close to right after the All-Star break. I think Herrera is worth holding on to until we see for sure that's a fact. And he would be the guy, obviously. There was some question whether it would be him or Soria, and I think it would be him.
Yeah. Soria pitched the eighth Saturday, and Herrera got the save in the ninth. So what ad drops do you want to talk about, Heath? Anything you want to share with the listeners?
You know, Scott and I were talking about this beforehand because we both have a certain day of the week that we do almost all of our ad drops in preparation for the next week. And Scott does his on Sunday. You'll get about 14 emails on Sunday from all the different leagues that we're in together.
Totally.
Of all the players that Scott has added and dropped. And I do almost all of mine generally on the Thursday before the week. And then Sunday, I'll just do a once over to make sure nothing's really changed. And I do that because I want to make sure I get a crack at the two-start pitchers before the guys that do their pickups on the weekend. Mm-hmm. Well, that made it kind of interesting this week because I mean, on Thursday, obviously, there's not a whole lot that I really wanted to add a week before the next period started. And then I didn't really add anybody over the weekend.
Well, because there are no two-star pitchers.
I'm just kind of standing pat.
Standing yeah. pat.
By the way, I make my ad drops. I try to do it on Saturday so I can, because I know I'm going to want a lot of the same guys that Scott wants. And yeah. try to get a jump on.
The thing that's amazing to me is, like, I think Al does his, like, Friday or Saturday. So you and Al and I have all done all the ad drops that we want to do. And then Scott comes in and picks up more players than all of us combined.
Yeah, well.
Every week.
I pick up a lot of guys.
I think Scott has some custom reports like, set that we don't have set.
I don't feel like the ad drops you guys make, though, when I see it come through my email, I'm like, man, beat me to them.
They're never guys you want.
I guess not.
I think you have some custom reports set up in the report settings that we are not accessing.
Yeah, maybe. Well, okay. What? So I think closers were one of the big things. The most added dropped. And we'll, of course, look at the most added list here. But closers, a lot of movement there, I guess, what I'm trying to say. I added Tyler Duffy coming off of a couple of good starts now. I tried to get Randall Grichuk, but he's owned in the leagues I wanted him in.
In five outfielder leagues?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, five outfielder leagues. Grichuk, since coming back, he's 9-for-22 with a couple of home runs. And as you guys mentioned on, I think, Friday's show with Matt Carpenter's oblique injury, certainly opens up playing time, more regular playing time for Randall Grichuk.
I mean, it was just one good start for Tyler Duffy, right?
No, it was two.
Two out of three,
okay.
Yeah. It was? I thought it was two straight.
No, there was a rocky one in between.
Okay.
But the two were really good. I added Yonhir Vasilarde basically in every league where he's still available.
Yeah, I had him already in a couple. He's extremely underrated.
Yep, and one of the guys I dropped for him was Joe Panik, who's in a DL spot, of course.
Right.
But like, even when Panik comes back, I have a feeling Yonhir Vasilarde is going to be just as good or better. Kind of to go back to Matt's email at the top of the show, because talking about Benintendi and Hunter Renfro just kind of completely steamrolled the other two names there, which are actually the more attractive names, Alex Bregman and Kenneth Vargas. I've already picked up Bregman in those same roto leagues where I now have Renfro and Benintendi. I think
so. Your bench is those three guys.
No, there's seven man bench. So, I mean, I think it's a given he's going to be up in the second half. And he was also drafted last year, the second overall pick. But he is just, I mean, he's too good for the minors. His walk-to-strikeout ratio is crazy.
He homers
every other day. They could play him at third base, either kick Valbuena out or shift him over to first base, maybe share time with A.J. Reed, or maybe just send A.J. Reed down because he hasn't been very good. I do trust Bregman based on the minor league numbers to make more of an instant impact than AJ Reed or probably any other hitter to get the call this year. And then Kenneth Vargas.
Well, now listen, I got to be the pronunciation police here because
Kenny.
There you go.
You're right. I have a hard time remembering that because there's an S on the end.
There is
just
an S.
Kenny.
He's been weird so far.
Right?
Like, it doesn't make any sense. We're talking about a guy that just strikes out all the time in the minors, struck out 30% of the time last year, and it's only been 23 plate appearances so far. But he's walking twice as often as he's striking out, and he's got an ISO of 824.
Well, he has become a high walk player in the minors. He wasn't always that way, but the last couple of years, high on base percentage, has shown good power in the past, had a not so great year at AAA this year, but he's getting everyday playing time and capitalizing on it. And I just wonder if it's one of those situations where a guy feels like he belongs in the majors and he's not as locked in the minors because of it, just kind of biding his time down there. See that happen from time to time.
Well, I want to talk about the Twins because the Twins have scored the most runs in baseball since June 18th. I know it's arbitrary, but they're obviously hitting the ball well right now. I think some of it is that they have faced the Rangers seven times in their last 10 games. And the Rangers are, their pitching is so unbelievably bad right now, with guys like Chichi Gonzalez.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I always forget Rodriguez Gonzalez. Chichi and, Nick Martinez, it's just, you know, when Martin Perez and Cole Hamels isn't even pitching that well right now. So they're horrible, and they've really beaten up on them. So I don't know. I mean, that could be part of it. But Kepler's hitting well, and Vargas is hitting well, obviously. Dozier homered again yesterday. I don't know what you make of it. I think Kepler's also very interesting.
He's interesting, and I've said it a couple times with Kepler. Like, he's succeeding, but not in the way he's supposed to succeed. So I actually trust the way Vargas is succeeding more on walks and home runs than Kepler with the home runs. I was a little more discerning in where I was picking up Vargas this year because, yeah, there are a lot of reasons to question what he's doing, and outfield is a much greater need for me than corner infield usually. Mm-hmm. Where I'm not sure he's even eligible yet. He started DH only, but he has been playing first base. So, okay. So I did prioritize Benintendi and, Renfro over Vargas, but I'm intrigued by what Vargas is doing for sure.
Everybody get ready to save $20 when you buy tickets to a concert or a game. I am talking about SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the only website or app that I use to buy or sell tickets. All right. You can make fun of me for this one. My friend asked me if I wanted to go to the Rob Thomas and Counting Crows concert. I didn't really want to go, but I will because whatever, I have nothing better to do. So let's find some tickets. Open up the SeatGeek app. And how do I know I'm getting the best deal? Well, SeatGeek does all the work and the price comparison for me. SeatGeek searches multiple ticket sites, ensures I get the best possible deal. So that's easy. SeatGeek then ranks all of the seats based on value. So I'm going to get the most for my money. It's such an easy and efficient way to find tickets. $27 tickets to Rob Thomas and Counting Crows. And by the way, if you want to beat me to it, that ticket can be yours for only $7. Here's how. Our listeners are getting a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code. And our promo code is FANTASY, all caps, FANTASY. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FANTASY today. I have done it. If you forget, trust me. I mean, it's legit. You're getting that refund. You're getting great seats. You're getting a great website that's going to give you alerts when the prices drop. And if you forget the promo code, feel free to tweet me at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R, and I will hook you up, as I've done many, many times to our listeners.
Well, you said at the beginning of that we could make fun of you if we want. Why would we make fun of you?
I don't know. Counting Crows, Rob Thomas, kind of lame, no?
I don't think Counting Crows are lame at all.
Oh, God.
I have no opinion on the matter.
I do not like the Counting Crows. I like Rob Thomas. So, I mean, I liked Matchbox 20.
Oh, okay.
But I don't love...
So you're taking the good with the bad. That's why you're going.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Counting Crows, they do this weird thing. I'm not sure. I don't know if they still do it, but I've heard some live stuff from them where he sings the songs so differently than the way they're recorded.
Yeah, I think they all sound better live.
I don't know. That really bugs me. It's like you're not even listening to the same song. He takes so much liberty with it.
But you know the words.
Yeah. Well, that's what always bugs me about concerts in general. I mean, the whole experience.
Is that what it is?
One of the many things.
Okay.
One of the many things. But I mean, for me, the whole appeal of music is the anticipation of knowing what's coming and getting excited when it comes. And it's kind of a letdown when it's live because it's a little different. It's not what you expected.
I don't know. I don't think that's what I look for in music, the anticipation of knowing what's coming.
Maybe this is why I struggle to have these music conversations with you guys, because I just have such a different take on the whole thing.
No, I think that that was a very Scott White take on music. And there's nothing wrong with it.
Okay.
Scott knows what he likes, and he likes it.
That's fine.
And he'd like to hear it again.
Exactly.
So, if we look at the most added lists, three of the top four are relievers. Uihara, then I'll skip number two for now. Number three is Tyler Clipper. Number four is Kelvin Herrera. Number two is somebody that I wanted to talk about with Heath because he kind of poo-pooed it on Thursday. And yes, I listened. Brandon McCarthy. You don't really, based on what you said on Thursday, you don't really seem to be excited about Brandon McCarthy. He's 55% owned.
No, I mean, I'm conflicted.
Okay.
Because emotionally, I enjoy following Brandon McCarthy on Twitter. He right. sounds like a very funny, nice dude that I would really enjoy having a beer with. I just don't think the chances that Brandon McCarthy's coming back after all this time off and is going to be good the rest of the year are very good. And the way he's going about doing it seems a little bit strange to me.
Well, he's had two starts and, you know, nothing. The first one was pretty encouraging with all the strikeouts. The second one, let me see if I can get the numbers here. It was like 5 innings, 3 runs on 3 hits, 3 walks, and 6 strikeouts against the Padres. The first start was 5 innings scoreless with 8 strikeouts against Colorado. And he's only thrown 72 and 77 pitchers in 2 starts. But I want to remind people how good Brandon McCarthy was before Tommy John in 2014 when he got traded to the Yankees. McCarthy went 7-5 with a 2.89 ERA with 13 walks to 82 strikeouts in 90 and a third innings. He got himself a nice deal with the Dodgers and then pretty much immediately had Tommy John. So yeah, 55% owned. I guess he's just one of the guys that I've been taking a shot on. I picked him up in a lot of leagues last week. You know, because pitching's terrible. So I
exactly
feel like there's something there. I could see you being 100% right, Heath, and McCarthy not being that good. I feel like it's a risk you kind of have to take, though.
I think, okay. You started off in a place that I could really agree with. He's been a guy I've been adding because pitching is terrible. Where you ended, that it's a risk you have to take, is not something I necessarily agree with.
Okay.
I think the most likely outcome is that Brandon McCarthy is a very nice streamable option that you can use against good matchups.
That's probably the most likely outcome. But, I mean, to Adam's point, like he looks like a much better sleeper now than at the start of the season. If you told me when he came back, you'd really be interested in him, I'd say, no way. There's way too many other pitchers to be interested in. It's not true.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like he lost his velocity and his stuff in the fifth inning in that game on Saturday. I watched it, and it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I think it's going to be a process for McCarthy coming back. And again, he hasn't even thrown 80 pitches yet, so you don't have to be super excited, but he is the number two most added player. Others on the list, somebody we haven't talked about, I think his first major league hit was a grand slam, Josh Bell. Is that right?
No, that was his second major league hit. I think he's still batting 1,000. Did he get it?
Yeah, he's three for three.
Okay, so he started this season the same way Trey Turner did, 3-for-3.
Except Trey Turner did it in one game. Josh Bell has done it in 3 games with one at bat in each.
And he's going to get sent down, which is that's a guy I would have been trying to pick up everywhere had that not happened, because that home run, that grand slam he hit. I mean, apart from some of the ones Barry Bonds hit during, you know, when the Giants were in postseason contention and seemingly could do it, you know, seemingly made a choice to hit a home run and then he hit a home run. That was one of the most impressive home runs I've ever seen.
Whoa. Really?
The one Josh Bell hit. Yes. Given the moment, given the fact it was
his
second at bat of his career, given the distance of the home run, went into the river and right, basically. And the fact that, like, you know, here's this kid in his second major league at bat, and he does this little, like, strut as soon as he makes contact because he knows it's gone. Like, how often do you see that from somebody so inexperienced?
It was just
a really cool moment.
And I gotta watch this.
And seeing him hit it, I mean, obviously the distance factors into this, but I mean, just seeing how imposing he looks at the plate and knowing he's coming from a minor league track record where he was consistently hitting 300 with 1-to-1 strikeout to walk ratios. The only thing that was lagging really was the power. I mean, there's not really any doubt just looking at him. He's going to be a power hitter. And if that's the case with all those other skills he has, I'm thinking Bell could be a monster here in the future.
All right. Well, first of all, you know, it was a cool home run. I'm not sure I'm quite as excited about it as you are.
Oh, did you just watch it?
Yeah, I'm watching it. I just watched it. Very cool.
Did you see it in the moment, Scott, as it happened?
I did not.
Okay. I thought maybe that was what was missing.
Yeah, I mean,
but it was a big moment.
Well, let's see. What was the score here? So he's facing the Cubs, the first place team, division rival, trail, right, are up 7-5 in the fifth inning. Adam
up
Warren
to
delivers.
In the fifth inning, so not really a big
bunch. Right. So now we've got a 6-run game off the home run from Josh. But I don't know, Scott. You know, I think you oversold it, but it was cool. All right, but what's his fantasy value? I mean, is he worth stashing right now? This is a first baseman for the Pirates, by the way.
I didn't pick him up anywhere because he's getting sent back down. And, you know, if I can't find a spot for Vargas in a lot of these leagues, how am I going to pick up Bell?
Yeah, I guess
if he was still an outfielder, it'd be different.
The difference, like in the For the People podcast league, we've got like 9 bench spots or something. We have 7 bench spots. We've got a bunch of those. Mm-hmm. If I'm putting a guy at the bottom of my roster, I think I'd rather put Bell there than Vargas. Like I'm hoping Vargas can be good enough to maybe make it onto my roster at some point. Scott's talking about Bell like he may be the second coming of Babe Ruth. He just called his shot on a grand slam.
I'm hopeful, like, Josh Bell is giving me visions of, like, Lance Berkman all over again. That's what I'm envisioning. When I saw this highlight of him hitting this grand slam, I went out and tried to trade for him in my Dynasty League. I just closed the browser where I was watching it and went and made an offer for him. The offer did not take, but that's how excited I was.
I don't think Kenny Vargas is going to get anybody that excited at any point in his career, probably.
There's less chance of that, but he's contributing now, and you're at greater risk of losing him to someone else than the soon to be demoted Bell.
You know, once upon a time, Marcus Timms homered on, I think, the first pitch he saw off Randy Johnson. I just want to throw that out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, he wasn't the prospect Bell.
I remember.
No, I'm just saying. You know,
I remember a guy named Tuffy Rhodes. Homered 3 times on opening day 1 year. That was one of the more impressive things I've ever seen.
Yep. Yasmani Grandal homered 3 times over the weekend in 1 game.
He did.
He's good.
Yeah, he is.
I feel like you guys are making fun of me.
No, really? No, I've transitioned from I've transitioned from making fun of you to having a serious talk about Yasmani Grandal, but he's a catcher. I mean, you got to own him. He's a top 12 catcher, right? Grandal.
I really was pretty confident that he was coming into the year. About 2 weeks ago, I just about lost confidence that he was. I think I've got him right on the border of top 12. He seems to be snapping out of it, though. I believe in him being probably a top 10 guy rest away.
Oh, wow. Scott, are you going to make a rankings adjustment on Grandal? He's pretty low for you, at least in Roto. He's 20th.
I guess he deserves to go up from there, but... I don't think he's very good.
Yeah, Yasmani Grandal, you don't think he's good?
No, I don't. What's he batting now? 200?
Yeah, he's been terrible, but
he... Don't use batting average.
Don't use batting average. When has he ever had a good batting average?
He had a great year last year before he hurt, his shoulder? In the final month of the season, he had like 3 hits and 80 at bats, something crazy like that.
Okay.
He walks 15% of the time. He loves guys that walk a lot.
He starts like 60% of the Dodgers games, first of all. He's batting 212, and
you take Tommy Joseph
aside
over
from that three homer game. Aside from that 3-homer game, he hasn't done a whole lot.
You honestly though, you would not take Tommy Joseph over Yasmani Grandal, would you?
Oh, I am in a couple leagues. Yeah.
By the way, you're selling him short. He's got 5 home runs this month. Now he's homered in the last day of June, so that's 6 home runs in like the last nine games.
Those are like his only hits.
I mean,
he's hitting 440 in July.
I mean, go
kind of, but he's a catcher.
But that's because he went 5 for 5 in the 3-homer game.
But
I don't know. I mean, it's a weak position, so whatever. I mean, I'd take him over Wellington Castillo now, I guess. But I feel like we've played this game enough with Grandal that I should know better.
Well, Grandal finished last season 4 for his last 82 playing through an injury. Before that, he had an 889 OPS on August 9th.
But even then, he was underwhelming because he doesn't play as much as most catchers.
Well, that is true, but you can't nitpick that much with catcher. I mean, 889 OPS, even if he doesn't play as much. I'm not saying he's going to be that good, but I'm just surprised that you're writing him off. Like, I don't know. I'm surprised.
I wasn't that high on him coming into the year, to be honest, so... I mean, the fact that he's hitting 212 more than halfway through it doesn't inspire much confidence in me.
Okay, let's move on, guys, and talk about the rest of the league and what we saw over the weekend here. First of all, Noah Syndergaard His next start is going to be July 19th, but this is three like minor, you know, quote unquote injuries for Noah Syndergaard. Get his elbow checked, arm fatigue. This cannot make Noah Syndergaard owners feel very good.
Or Mets fans. Yeah, it seems like everybody on that staff is just a little bit, except for Bartolo, I guess it's fine. No, I'm concerned if I'm, but what can you do with him?
Well, let me, would you give up Noah Syndergaard for Johnny Cueto?
Yes.
Scott?
I think I would.
No.
Would you give up Noah Syndergaard for John Lester?
I guess not, not after the last two starts Lester had.
See, I think I have Cueto ranked ahead of Lester, so.
I may now. I didn't going into this.
Wait, you cannot, you're downgrading Lester from these two bad starts?
I think I had Cueto ahead of him before these two starts.
Why shouldn't I? I mean,
why should you? It's two starts.
His ERA went from 2 to 3. I mean,
yeah, he had some regression coming. It happened in two starts. Oh,
okay. I didn't know it was necessarily going to happen.
Well, but still, I mean, how far are you going to drop him? I'm just saying, like, he's having a great year.
No, like, I'm going to drop him 3 or 4 spots. Nothing. I'm not saying sell on John Lester or anything. I'm just saying, you know, Cueto and him were close, and those last two starts has given me reason to drop him behind Cueto.
But what about Syndergaard? You have Syndergaard ahead of both of them?
I had Syndergaard in between Lester and Cueto, and now I'm saying Lester is dropping behind both of them.
But okay. Syndergaard is staying where he is.
That's reasonable. After the last two starts Lester had, his numbers don't look nearly as good now.
I understand, but so that's like philosophically, Lester had two bad starts. Is there really anything to be concerned about there?
Well, Scott and I have had this discussion numerous times in the office, and I think it's really important to keep your rankings updated regularly. But the thing I hate about it is I feel like it causes me to overreact to two starts like this too often. And I'm not saying that there's a right way or a wrong way, but I think I would prefer to react a little bit less.
Well, I just think that with Syndergaard, these red flags are very concerning. And if I can get a guy like John Lester, unless you think there's really something wrong with him, that maybe he's got an injury or something like that based on these last two horrible starts, I'm 100% taking John Lester, who doesn't seem to have any injury concerns and is having a great year on a better team.
He was having a great year.
He still is having a great year. His ERA is 3, right around there, right?
Look at John Lester's track record and tell me, can you really call him reliable when you look at his track record and see those fours ERAs mixed in?
Well, yes.
I mean, he can go wrong before. We've seen it happen very recently.
But I think the bigger thing for me here is you don't seem to be showing any concern at all with Syndergaard.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah.
The fact that he's even in the discussion with Cueto and Lester shows my concern with Syndergaard.
Cueto's
because
he's
clearly
two.
A more talented pitcher than both. Other than Kershaw, he's probably the most talented pitcher in baseball.
I mean, Cueto's been better than Syndergaard so far this year, right?
Cueto's been better than everyone but Kershaw this year.
Okay.
But, I mean,
well, we're talking about John Lester over two starts. I'm talking about a half a season with Johnny Cueto.
Right. I'm not really sure I understand your point.
My point is that Cueto's been better this year in fantasy leagues.
Yes.
Cueto does
but
not
the
have any
rest of season.
Cueto does not have any injury concerns.
No.
Syndergaard clearly has at least orange flags.
Orange flags.
I'm not going to give him red flags yet, but he's got caution.
Yeah, I moved him down from 8th to like 11th, so there was my concern. Concern.
So you don't think Johnny Cueto is a top 10 pitcher still?
No.
Okay.
Cueto is number 2 in points, number 3 in Roto behind Kershaw and Bumgarner. More injuries. Danny Salazar has mild elbow inflammation. He's going to miss the All-Star game, and Jose Quintana is replacing him in the All-Star game. Get well soon, Danny Salazar. Joe Ross will be back after the All-Star break. No definitive date has been given. Yu Darvish could start on Saturday against the Cubs. Ryan Zimmerman's on the DL with a strained ribcage. Trey Turner was called up, but the only start he's made was against a lefty. Clint Robinson's been playing first base. Against the lefty on Sunday, they moved Murphy to first base, and they put Turner at second base. So that's frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's going to get sent down too. I didn't even bother to pick him up anywhere.
The Mets are hoping that Yoenis Cespedes can return from his quad injury on Friday. Jose Fernandez will not start over the weekend in the weekend series. That's kind of an effort to conserve his innings, so they're pushing him back a bit. Did anybody see Buster Posey's throw to Jake Peavy on Saturday?
That was amazing.
It was so cool.
That was very, very cool.
Was it cooler than Josh Bell's Grand Slam?
I have yet to see Josh Bell's Grand Slam. Adam?
No, it wasn't cooler. Josh Bell's Grand Slam was pretty cool. This was just really funny. So Jake Peavy is looking at third base after throwing a pitch.
Complaining at somebody.
Yeah.
At the umpire or someone.
I think he's barking at the umpire. And Posey lobs the ball back to Peavy, who's not looking, not prepared for it. And he hits Peavy's like chest basically, and it banks right into his glove. So it was like
he
a
was
bank
holding
shot.
His glove like this. Yeah. Just boom. Buckets.
Very cool. And then I meant to type Dexter Fowler may miss time after the All-Star break, but for some reason I typed I'm Dexter Fowler may miss time after the All-Star break. So it's a Ron Burgundy moment. I'm Dexter Fowler? Might not be ready to come off the DL on Friday.
Yeah.
How about these guys? I got some pitchers from over the weekend that pitch pretty well and are available in at least half our leagues. Archie Bradley gave up 2 runs in the first and settled down, pitched 6 innings, 2 runs at the Giants. Sean Manaea, great start for him, 7 scoreless at Houston with 6 strikeouts and 5 hits, no walks for Manaea. Those two guys are 48 and 35% owned. And then you've got players who are less than 20% owned. Tyler Anderson, Nick Tropiano is a 3.12 ERA. Mike Montgomery, 6% owned, and Mike Foltynewicz comes out of nowhere with 10 strikeouts in 7 scoreless at the White Sox. So we got Bradley and Manaea. Why don't we start with them since they're more owned and, you know, probably more interesting for now. I don't know. I'll let you guys decide. But go ahead and speak.
I think this is where with Bradley and Manaea you get into a little bit of confirmation bias probably. If there's one of these guys that you were excited about before the year, it's very easy to look at him and say, look, Sean Manaea's two of his last 3 starts have been shutouts or not giving up a run. His strikeouts look better. And you gloss over the fact that 2 of his last 5 starts have been awful. I'm probably still more excited about Manaea
than I should be.
And okay. I have Manaea still on a couple rosters and not Bradley.
Yeah, the only pitcher I own of these is actually Bradley. So I guess I like him a little more than Manaea. I feel like the bad starts haven't been nearly as bad for Bradley, but the good starts haven't been that great either.
Right.
I think he was coming off of 2 start weeks. Otherwise, I may not own him in any leagues anymore.
He was coming off a 2 start week. Who would you rather own, those two or Brandon McCarthy? How would you rank those three? Manaea, Bradley, and McCarthy.
You just did for me.
I'd go Bradley, McCarthy, and then Manaea. But I think of this original list, Bradley, Manaea, Anderson, Tropiano, Montgomery, Foltynewicz, the one who could really catch on in fantasy is Mike Foltynewicz.
Really?
He knew I was going to say it.
I thought you were going to say Montgomery.
Oh, no. Montgomery doesn't pitch for the Braves.
It's not.
That is, Scott is so Braves. Not like that. He's so not like that.
Scott started smiling about halfway through that sentence because he knew the reaction he was going to get to what he was saying.
Yeah.
It's coming from you, Heath. That's what cracks me up.
Foltynewicz throws 98 miles per hour. And his strikeout rate on the year is now like 8.2 per nine, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Strikeout to walk ratio, very good. He's given up too many home runs, but really that's confined to just 2 really bad starts. Otherwise, all of his ratios would look good. And considering the stuff, I mean, Foltynewicz has been a high-end prospect for a long time. Just control issues, command issues in the minors. And, you know, you have command issues against major leaguers, you're going to do things like give up home runs. So if he's, and he did start to show signs of this before going on the DL, improving his command, that the velocity began to translate into strikeouts some more. And then all of a sudden, a 10 strikeout game. I could see him catching on here. I'm not picking him up really anywhere. Maybe the deepest of leagues you could think about it. Obviously, he's going to have win trouble with the Braves, but a lot of upside here and very encouraging trends.
I also, this start happened on Sunday, and I have a little bit of a hard time believing some, like, same thing happened with Montgomery. Sunday was the ultimate getaway day.
Oh, yeah.
Like there was some serious mailing it in going on around the league.
Oh, the Indians could not have played any worse. It was an absolute embarrassment. They had their, because, you know, guys about to go on vacation, all-star game, whatever. But still, I mean, can't completely discount it. But what Montgomery, I know Al was excited about Montgomery in AL only, and he makes this start, and it's quite good. What was it, six scoreless innings against Kansas?
Six. Yeah. They gave one run on a home run to Brett Eibner. He struck out three over six and a third.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And only 47 strikeouts and 56 and two thirds, but a 2.06 ERA for Montgomery this year. Almost all of it coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah. I mean, three strikeouts and six and a third. Yeah. I mean,
Royals,
don't think the upside is comparable to any one of these other pitchers. He may end up having the most. He may stick in the rotation longer than any of them, frankly, and he may be more reliable.
But, well, any of them being who? Not Manaea and Bradley.
No. Well, no, maybe even Manaea and Bradley. They get shut down at some point.
Oh, okay.
I could see Montgomery just staying in the Mariners rotation and doing okay. But I don't think there's any better than okay.
I think it's really unlikely that once Felix comes back, once Taijuan Walker comes back, that Montgomery has a job as a starter.
There's a good chance, yeah.
Tyler Anderson, 17% owned, and another Rockies pitcher who's just pitching well. Four of his six starts have been at home, and he's got a 3.03 ERA.
So weird.
He's not, you know, he's not great. He's not pitching deep into games, but for a guy 17% owned, you could do worse. And this is somebody that we looked at last week as a two-star pitcher and said not so bad for a guy who's at the time he was, I don't know, 10% owned or something. Heath, what on earth are you going to do this week without FanDuel?
Write about football.
Oh, okay. Well, FanDuel going away for a few days, but
yeah,
that's it. I mean, that kind of stinks. No FanDuel until Friday. I want to play fantasy baseball every single day. I love seasonal fantasy, whether it's daily lineups or weekly lineups. It's great, but you're stuck with basically the same team every day. So injuries, bad seasons, bad luck, they can ruin your fantasy season. But on FanDuel, you get a new team every day or multiple teams every day on FanDuel.com. It's such a great way to play fantasy. Play your daily fantasy baseball on FanDuel.com. So much better than the competition, and you can win real money. A special offer for new users. Enter your first league and either win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. Go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and sign up with our promo code. It is HOMERUN. That promo code is HOMERUN. One word, no spaces. HOMERUN for that awesome offer for new users. Okay. We got to talk about the pitchers who stunk.
And oh, good.
Jake Arrieta. He's got a 6.75 ERA in his last four starts.
Mm-hmm.
John Lester. Have we talked about Lester yet today, guys?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm not really concerned though. How far have you moved Arrieta down?
He's still in my top five. I think I dropped him behind Bumgarner for sure. And it's close between him and Scherzer. He may be as high as third.
Wait, I want to take a quick detour and talk about Bumgarner since you brought him up. Madison Bumgarner, I don't know what pace he's on now because it's a little bit past halfway through the season, but he's thrown over 2,000 pitches. So he's on pace, I think, for roughly 4,000 pitches. And I checked the last 10 years, and that has never been done. And Verlander came close a couple times in the 3,900 range, but like last year, Dallas Keuchel led baseball with around 3,700 pitches. They are extending Madison Bumgarner so much, and I know that he's country strong and whatever, but I just don't like it. Maybe more so if I owned him in a keeper league or a dynasty league, but this is a borderline abuse on Madison Bumgarner.
Has he thrown more pitches than Cueto?
Now he has. Yeah, he leads baseball. Because
Cueto's thrown more innings.
Yeah, Bumgarner's throwing more pitches.
Okay. Yeah.
And an amazing amount of pitches, too.
They've got a couple workhorses on that staff. Let him throw.
All right. Yeah, you know, it's more something I just wanted to call attention to. Actually, Cueto is seventh in pitches. Bumgarner, Scherzer, Price, Archer, Keuchel, Odorizzi, and
seems
Cueto.
To me like there's a correlation between throwing a lot of pitches and being good.
Yeah, that's why I said Odorizzi that way.
And he hardly throws any innings, Odorizzi.
Well, now we know why.
I guess, yeah.
He's so inefficient.
You know, it'll be if Madison Bumgarner in the next year or two suffers a career altering injury, then
he'll be like most other pitchers.
Which is the point I was building up to. I was going to say Adam will have the right to say I told you so.
No,
but I feel like
I don't think he does.
I feel like. You know, it seems like the pitchers teams are most careful with just get hurt as often as everybody else, if not more so. So I'm wondering if there's really anything to pitch counts, innings counts, all of that, and getting hurt.
I think it's just so dependent on the pitcher and what they've built up to. And Madison Bumgarner is a guy that's shown that he can handle the stress. Let him go.
Yeah, I know. Just that they're pushing him further than they ever have before. Scherzer has thrown over 2,000 pitches so far this year. Okay, so who else did we have? We had the two Cubs pitchers, Arrieta and Lester. Cole Hamels, just a lot of walks this year. 47 walks. He has a 1.33 whip. Chris Sale, where did this come from? 5 innings, 8 runs, 3 homers against the Braves on Friday. Carlos Carrasco struggled on Sunday. The defense behind him was terrible, but he just wasn't pitching that well. And Chris Archer has a 9.95 ERA in the first inning. That continues to be a big issue for him. And Archer struggled on Friday. So those were some studs who were bad over the weekend, guys.
A lot of high-end pitchers entering the break on a down note. So, I mean, I don't think there's a glaring concern for any one of them. And so I don't want to misrepresent my views on Lester since I was kind of talking him down based on how his last two starts went. I mean, we're talking about a very thin margin between him and guys like Cueto or Syndergaard, healthy or not. I mean, he's still one of the top 15 pitchers in fantasy. It's just, how high does he rate there? I'm still trying to figure it out. I thought maybe he had turned a corner and was about to turn in his career best season, and now I'm questioning it. Now he might just have a typical Lester season, which would still be very good. But, you know, considering guys like Sale and Carrasco and Arrieta, they're all entering the break on a down note too. I mean, yeah, it's you don't want to make too much of any one of those situations.
You ready for some trivia Monday?
Oh, yeah.
It's usually trivia Tuesday, but...
We don't even know if we're going to have a podcast on Tuesday.
Oh, you said we will. We'll be here, Adam. We would do whatever it took. There are 3 pitchers, qualified starters, that have thrown less than 40% of their pitches in the strike zone this season. Only three in all of baseball. Chris Archer is not one of them. He's at 43.7%.
Okay. Not Cole Hamels.
Cole Hamels.
Really?
39.4. Only 2 pitchers worse than him. One of them makes a ton of sense. Probably both of them, actually.
Francisco Liriano.
Francisco Liriano's at 39.2%, basically almost exactly the same as Hamels. And then there's one guy in between them. He was awful, changed teams this year, started in the National League. Now he's in the American League. Everybody dropped him.
James Shields.
Shields, Hamels, and Liriano.
I sold Hamels a couple weeks ago for DeGrom because I was worried about the walks and the home runs. You know, he's got basically career worse in, I think, both. Definitely walks. I think home runs.
Now, here's why Cole Hamels is still good and Shields and Liriano suck. On those pitches outside of the zone, Shields and Liriano both get batters to swing at about 27% of those pitches, which is not great. Cole Hamels is getting batters to swing at a third of them. So it's okay to not throw very many pitches in the strike zone if batters are going to swing at a third of the bad pitches you throw.
It's okay. It's still not what you expected to get from Cole Hamels. And I do think there's a bit of a smoke and mirrors thing going on. I mean, his whip's over 1.3 at this point. I think that was the right move at the time, Adam, and I still think he's somebody worth trying to sell high on. You could maybe still sell high on him for DeGrom in some leagues, even though DeGrom obviously is on a nice run. He doesn't have nearly as good as a win-loss record as Hamels, and that'll count for a lot for some people.
Yeah, I basically, at the beginning of the year, I kind of thought Hamels was a great bounce back and that he was going to become a fantasy ace again, and I don't really think that anymore. Like, number two, sure, but I don't know. Just a little disappointed. But it's not like he's been bad. Pitching sucks. We know that. I've made that a fact for everybody. More notes here. CJ Cron on the DL with a broken hand. Tough break there. Carlos Rodon on the DL with a wrist injury. He slipped and fell as he was walking onto the field Friday. Jose Bautista. Yeah. Jose Bautista could return from turf toe by the end of the month. Michael Brantley expected to start a rehab assignment today. The Yankees outfield prospect Aaron Judge could be out 3 to 4 weeks with a knee injury.
Notice I wasn't picking him up.
Yeah. Justin Bour could be back soon after the All-Star break. Matt Cain's going to come off the DL soon. Homer Bailey could be back in late July. Eduardo Rodriguez is going to start at the Yankees on Friday. Interesting. Tyson Ross sprained his ankle while rehabbing from shoulder inflammation. So Ross with another setback. We don't know how bad it is. And a couple of Giants could be back in a couple of weeks. Hunter Pence and Joe Panic. We could do some emails or... Let me ask you, do you think... I know that Heath talked about the pixie dust wearing off for Stephen Wright, and I am going to talk about him tomorrow. I have something to say about Stephen Wright, but I want to know, do you think the pixie dust is wearing off for Matt Shoemaker?
I didn't see how many swinging strikes he had.
Four swinging strikes.
Okay, well, I know it had remained good, even though the results hadn't been as good.
Yeah.
Was getting a ton of swinging strikes still. So I'm going to say no for now, although, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he does just fade back into obscurity either. I mean, it surprised me that he became all that
right.
He became.
I think, again, he's not... He was never going to be as good as he was for that 6 or 7 start stretch. I think we pretty much knew that.
Of course.
He's faced the Red Sox and the Orioles in extremely hitter-friendly parks. I don't think he's going to be this bad either. I don't think he's going to fade back into obscurity. He found something that works. It's just not going to work as well now that everybody knows exactly what's going on. I still think he'll be a top 45, top 50 pitcher. Probably not top 35, though.
Okay. Shoemaker is 80% owned, so opportunities to pick him up if you believe in Matt Shoemaker.
I would not be dropping him anywhere. That's
right, exactly. And let's finish with some emails here at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Brewers fan in Waukesha says, "Dear Robin, Jim, and Cecil, and Paul." Those are Brewers.
Robin, Jim, Cecil, and Paul.
Those are clearly Brewers. Robin Yount, Cecil Fielder, Paul Molitor.
Yeah, who's Jim?
Jim.
Cecil Fielder was a Brewer?
Yeah, he was a Brewer, wasn't he?
I don't think so. He was a Blue Jay.
He was a Tiger. I thought he also played for the Brewers for a little while. Oh, Jim? No, Cecil Cooper.
Cecil Cooper.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jim Gantner. Right. Jim Gantner.
Okay. Man.
Yeah.
Cecil Cooper.
Okay, here's the question. I'm in 11th place in my limited keeper league, so I'm looking to next year with many of my moves. Please rank these guys for 2017 only. Josh Bell, that's obviously number one for Scott.
Yes.
It's good names here. Josh Bell, Jake Lamb, Michael Conforto, Julio Urias, and Lucas Giolito. Josh Bell, Jake Lamb, Michael Conforto, Julio Urias, and Lucas Giolito. How would you rank them just for next year?
I'll go Jake Lamb first. I mean, he's already all-star caliber player. I think if we're saying just next year and not the end of time, I will go Bell second because I think Arias and Giolito, even though they're the higher end prospects, they're going to have just as many innings concerns next year. I think he'll be the Pirates' full-time first baseman, and a rookie of the year contender next year. I'll say Bell second. And Conforto dead last. Guy's a jerk.
What is wrong with Michael Conforto?
I don't know. If you could explain it to me, maybe I'd change my mind.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Jake Lamb first. I might put Giolito second.
That's fine. You made it clear you're not as excited about Bell as
well. And in fairness, I have not seen the home run yet.
Don't worry about it. It's not going to change your mind.
Once I see the home run, I might put Josh Bell first.
You should listen to it with the volume on.
That was my problem.
I would assume on the Pirates broadcast. It needs to be on the Pirates broadcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that adds to the moment. That's part of a broadcaster's job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless he's the Royals radio broadcaster.
The Royals radio broadcaster is the greatest broadcaster outside of Vince Scully.
Are you serious? This is the Royals radio.
You're talking about TV that you don't like.
No, I don't like what's his name? Rex.
Yes, Denny Masters.
I'm talking about the play-by-play guy on the radio broadcast. He basically would do this: fly ball caught. The Royals win the World Series. They are back-to-back World Series champions. This is amazing. The Royals win the World Series.
No. He gets excited when it's worth getting excited
he
about.
He gets excited never. He gets
probably
excited.
He would have got excited about the Josh Bell home run.
He wouldn't have. He was at high fly ball. This has a chance.
Adam, if you need to stop, we can't be friends anymore.
Dude.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
He's a legend.
He needs to hang it up.
Never.
What's his name?
Denny Matthews.
He's so bored. I'm not even saying he's boring. He's bored. He like hates his job.
No.
Well, that's the way it comes off. Anyway.
You're killing our numbers in Kansas City right now.
All right. I'm going to cut this show short. Save some emails for tomorrow. We'll figure it out, everybody.
I'll be here all week. If you want a podcast, I'll podcast with you, Adam.
I'm currently rescheduling flights right now to make sure that I'm here in the mornings.
For Heath Cummings, Scott White, I'm Adam Azer. It's good to be back. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Good things. Machado.